Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Danny Katz. Today I am joined by Tim James of Chemical Free Body, and Tim and I went super deep in the realms of health, wellness, optimization, detoxing, all of those fun things. Before we dive in to today's show, I am reminding you to click that subscribe button, to like, to share, to comment, to leave me a five-star review, or as many stars as you feel are appropriate. Also, reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at dannykatz.com. It's the very best way to ensure that we can stay in touch. Before we dive into today's show, I want to share that I do have a promo code special link for you guys as you're inspired to delve into the chemical-free product line, which I highly, highly recommend. I will include the link in the show notes, and for those listening with their ears, type in chemicalfreebody.com/Danny, all caps, 28299, and that will get you some sort of wonderful percentage off. Buckle up and prepare to enjoy my conversation with Tim James. Tim James, how are you? Great to see you.
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
For sure. I know we were scheduled to do this a few months ago, and there was a dental issue, which I'm excited for you to talk to us about. And in the meantime, I have been able to put a bunch of your products to the test, and I just want to take this moment to acknowledge how totally next level your products are. Like, I've been hip to colloidal silver for quite a while, but like, I had a weird skin thing. Nothing was working on it at all. I used your gel and it went away instantly. I've tussled sometimes with like bladder infections. It's just kind of my body's go-to way to let me know like, hey, we're out of balance. And usually I have like a whole like list of protocols that I do, and I'm like, let me just try this silver and see how it works. It knocked it out immediately.
This solution?
Yes.
You drank it? Okay, good.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. That product line came a few years ago. I was blown away. Our formulator, Dr. Scott Treadway, who is a loving man, genius, Ayurvedic Chinese practitioner. I mean, three levels of master herbology. That's unbelievable when I found this guy. And he was trying to get me to get my own colloidal silver maker. He's like, Tim, you can make your own. It's better quality, and you can da da da. So I was just about ready to buy it, and then I stumbled across Dr. Keith and his dad. Actually, they were in the silver business, and he had accidentally, with some friends, invented this triple action nano silver for health purposes. And they were trying to invent, I can't remember what it was, but it was kind of like remember the sticky pad, sticky notes.
Sticky notes.
That guy was that kind of glue that's kind of just doesn't stick, but it sticks a little bit.
Yep.
They were trying to invent a glue that was impenetrable. And they come up with that gooey stuff and turned it into a $1 billion deal, right? So it was kind of an accident. Same thing with this stuff. So for me, what I'm so excited about is that we used to have with the colloidal silvers and the ionic silvers is people had to squirt it up the nose to get it in the respiratory tract. Because if you swallowed it, yeah, it'd kill the pathogens, but it'd also kill your gram-positive bacterium, which is your freaking immune system.
Yep.
Right? With this stuff, you can actually swallow it. It destroys the gram-negative bacterium, but it doesn't destroy the gram-positive, which is how you're going to heal. And the same thing's happening with you on the skin. Mm-hmm. The skin has a microbiome shield as well, so it'll destroy the pathogens. Works really well. We also believe, we love for topical, good old school garlic, you know, fresh pressed garlic. You can do one part garlic and two parts of some type of a carrier oil, like an organic olive oil. Mm-hmm. So it's one part pressed garlic, two parts olive oil. You mix it up, and you let it stand for 30 minutes because garlic's very caustic. It's about a 3.5 on the pH scale, so it's very mm-hmm. acidic. It'll burn your skin. But when you let it infuse into that oil, then you can bandage your wound with it. And there is nothing that garlic won't destroy topically. I mean, it's like I saw a video of like garlic gas on a micro level coming across, looked like a nuclear bomb just destroying all of the bacterium and all the pathogens. And many people know Paul McCartney, the Beatles, right? His yes. ex-girlfriend, Heather Mills, that got yep. in that accident, got her leg whacked off.
Yes.
Well, that stump got infected.
Oh.
when she was in the hospital, and they gave her antibiotics and they weren't working. So they had to cut off more of her leg, and it got infected again. And they gave her more antibiotics, and then it got infected again. They had kept cutting her leg off, and then her friend's like, "Look, you're gonna die. You're gonna die of, you need to do something else." So she actually flew to Hippocrates Wellness Center, where Charles and I started our journey. Hopefully we can talk about how I got in this whole thing, because I was a, redneck farmer that turned into a financial advisor. Now I'm in the health business. And they taught her how to make this garlic poultice, and within 2 weeks she was running around the institute on her new prosthetic. Infection gone. And I actually had an ingrown toenail when I was a kid 3 different times. And let me tell you what, it's freaking painful.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
painful. It's, you can't even touch it. Well, my son, and normally the procedure is they numb your toe with, anesthesia. Then they go in and cut the nail out, a third of the nail at an angle. And then sometimes they'll burn silver nitrate on a stick to burn the cuticle so it doesn't grow that way again. And then you have to kind of, it'll grow out and get, you can take antibiotics, which ain't good. Well, my son got an ingrown toenail. I'm like, you couldn't touch it. It was hot. I made the garlic poultice, put it on there. Within 2 days of changing that garlic poultice, like 2, 3 times a day, all the infection was gone. And we were able to get in there with like tweezers and stuff and pack some cotton underneath the nail and create a barrier of that where the skin was rubbing on it. And we just kept changing that out every couple days. And then the nail grew out and we cut it straight across. And he never had to get the injection. He never had to get the pain to go through the process, never had to go to the doctor, never had to take antibiotics and destroy his gut microbiome, and it healed, right? So that's a free way of doing it. But if people, I love having the gel because it works on bug bites, scrapes. I got my cat's eye fixed too. He got in a fight and was all infected. And women actually use it, as you, I don't know if you know this, but that gel is the best. Women tell us that it's the best toner cleanser ever.
Really?
Like ever, like there's nothing even. We what we need to do is we need to wrap it in a different label, just says toner cleanser, because people, that's the way people are. But it's like it will destroy all the gram negative bacteria on the face, micro cleanse the pores, but create a shield of protection. It dries instantly almost. Then you can put your hopefully mineral based non toxic makeup on afterwards if you even need any of that stuff. And it works
We don't do
amazing.
that. We don't do the makeup thing here. I don't know, maybe someone watching does, but I
Some people
encourage
do.
as
I
much.
just, yeah, they got to be careful though, because they're putting a lot of poisons and toxins in everything, including makeup.
Totally. Well, and it's just this weird thing to like keep women from like actually being creative or impactful, to just stare at our faces and paint ourselves up like we're just here to be eye candy for dudes. Like, I'm just not a fan myself. Is the gist with using the gel, you leave it on, you don't rinse it off?
You leave it on. Yeah, just one squirt. Your hands and just kind of rub it all over, get it full coated, and you're good to go. And yeah, it's amazing.
I love that. I've had some luck with garlic myself. I've been cleansing parasites for a while, and
Yeah.
sometimes at night they're like, before I hit my just right protocols, I was kind of like going crazy at night because certain parts of my body would get itchy. And I just hit the wall and I chopped up a bunch of raw garlic and put it in the down under area. And the next day I passed a giant tapeworm.
No, oh, wow.
Yeah,
Yeah.
all thank you, garlic.
Yeah, it's I mean the my whole thing as I'm trying to get to people is that what I've learned in the last 14 years, and I knew nothing about health. That's why I was a mess. I had to be life flighted. Is that we are from nature, and all we have to do is plug back into nature, and that disconnection from nature is where all of our suffering comes from.
100%. And the assumption that we're not part of nature, like every other being on the planet is, but we're some like weird separate alien entity. Maybe some of us are.
There might
One
be a few Pleiadians out there.
for sure, Pleiadians, Anunnaki, all the different
Well,
versions.
supposedly, like we are hybrid with Anunnaki. That was the whole thing. Otherwise, we would
Correct.
be a Sasquatch.
Correct. Who hangs out in my backyard? I've got a whole family.
Oh, cool. Cool. They're
But
time slippers.
totally, they're like these
It,
odd, like
that blew my mind. That really blew my mind, because I'm like, all my friends and everybody out in the woods all the time, like, how come nobody sees these? You get these brief sightings, but where's the bones? But if they're kind of smart and they can slip into different time space realities, well, then okay, well, that kind of makes sense. Like, oh, there's a human, get out of here, whoop, and they go somewhere else. Okay, I know that might sound crazy to people, but I mean,
Not on my
I'm
show.
the most open-minded person in the world. I don't know. I don't have a clue. I've never seen it, but I've heard about it. I'm like, well, maybe that is. I don't know. Like,
What happened was I interviewed a Bigfoot experiencer, a pretty famous Bigfoot experiencer on the podcast named Ashley Stinnett. And she said on the podcast, well, Bigfoot's always tracking me. So now that we're talking, now you're on Bigfoot's radar. And then I just started finding these presents in my garden and in my house and crystals and weird fingerprints on the inside of my car. And they just seem to be around. But
Awesome.
we are a very open-minded tribe here on the podcast. So you
Okay,
can go
cool.
as far out as you want. You were lifelined, did you say?
Life flighted.
Life flighted. So is that, I mean, A, what happened? And B, was this your entry into the realm of health nerdery?
Well, it was precursor to it. I played baseball. Like I said, I grew up on a farm. We had a garden, hunting and fishing. We had Hereford cattle and grass hay and alfalfa hay. And, I learned the hard work. And my dad was, he was a hard worker. He worked for the State Highway Department for 35 years. But he also, I mean, when he got home from work, he worked. And on the weekends, we worked. And once in a while, we'd go fishing, or hunting on the weekends. But we were always working. And so I learned that. That was a good, thank God I learned that. And I played baseball at a high level for 30 years, so I was an athlete. But what happened was that by age 37, I gained 42 pounds. I had like no energy, mental clarity was bad. I had eczema all over my body, cracking and bleeding. I'd been pooping blood for 2.5 years. Doctors wanted me to take Prilosec, but it sounded like an alien, so I just sounded weird. And then the medications had side effects. Like, I mean, one of the side effects was rectal bleeding. I'm like, I already have that. Why would I take this pill? It doesn't make sense. So I stayed away from the pharma stuff just because this, and I had no knowledge of any of this stuff back then, but that just didn't resonate with me. And then it was pretty painful. What else was wrong? I had genital psoriasis. I had some other skin issues, like weird stuff growing on my back. They had to inject something into it and it ate it away, but kind of left a dent. It was like purple color. And then a few months later, bloop, 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 three more were around it. And I'm thinking, God, what if this happens on my face? So I was basically living in fear. My big A-type personality was shrinking. I didn't want to take my shirt off in public because I was embarrassed because my skin looked like a salamander. I was like bleeding every day. Like, as a financial advisor, I'd be doing like presentations on a whiteboard. And then the clients are like, Tim, you're bleeding. And I'm like, what? My elbows, like, because that's where you move, right? It would crack. And so I had to start wearing black shirts instead of white shirts because it was just, I'd stain them. And then sometimes if I bled a lot, especially in the wintertime when there's not as much sunshine, then I'd have to come home and, I mean, I'd take off my wool pants and sometimes the knees were stuck on the pants. And so a lot of dry cleaning for Tim. And then sometimes I'd have to get into the shower and just really soak my shirts in my shower just so they would come off easier, right? Because they would be dried onto my elbow. So if you pull it off, it was hurt. It was bandages. It was a nightmare. Okay. It was just sucked. Okay. And then I started pooping blood. And then that was on a scale of 1 to 10. It was probably a, one being not very painful and 10 shoot me, get me out of this reality. It was probably a 7. Every time, twice a day, I had to poop. I was like sitting on the toilet. No, here it comes. And it's like anal tears, bright red blood, and then dark red blood from internal bleeding. And that went on for a while. And then finally, to top it all off, I was on, and my wife was from Peru, and we went down to visit her dad, and her dad was a medical doctor. And he was going to go on this vacation with us. He'd never been on vacation before. So we flew up to Tumbes, which is just south of Ecuador. This private cool place on the beach. I mean, it was amazing. Like, seashells on the beach looked beautiful, big things like they should have been in a Smithsonian. It was like wild. And you go catch fish in the morning and then they'd serve you the fish at during lunch. It was just awesome. After a few days we were deep sea fishing and I was getting sick, and the captain and her dad was like, oh, he's got motion sickness. And I'm like, look, guys, I hunt and fish all my life. I've been on the Oregon coast. I fished off Hawaii. I don't get motion sickness. Something's wrong with me. They passed it off. I come back home a few hours later. I'm getting worse. And her dad, now he flips into doctor mode and he's like, oh, we have to get you into surgery. And so we packed everything up. You know, we planned this whole trip out for a freaking year and a half, year or two. And then we go down to the plane deal and we miss the one plane because very remote. We missed the one plane flight out of there by like 15, 20 minutes. So now he's like, we can't wait. You're going to die. So they rented a van, or he did. And then we drove down this bumpy ass road down the coastline of Peru to the nearest town that had a hospital called Piora. And, it was pretty spooky because I'm in the, this is pretty third world. I'm in the examination room. Multiple people are coming in, touching me and pushing on my stomach. And I said, ow, ow, ow. I'm like, okay, how many people need to diagnose this? It's painful. But there was like 500 bugs flying around in my head in the hospital. And all the, oh, it looked like from the mashed 50s, you know, all worn tools and stuff. And I'm like, this isn't good. So they're all talking Spanish a million miles an hour. I'm in pain. I can't even walk erect. I got to walk, literally bent over like a 90-year-old person with a bad back. And so they he doesn't want them to do the surgery there because his hospital's got all the state-of-the-art stuff. So he's booking the OR, coordinating everything, buys a commercial, the next commercial plane flight out of Peoria, and he sits next to me the whole way and watches me. So on a commercial airline, I was being they doped me up so I could stand up again. But I was being, you know, it's a commercial airline, but I was being life flighted to get to this surgery. Yeah. And that's, you're not supposed to do that, by the way. You're not, if you're supposed to go into surgery, you're not supposed to use that. So he said, don't say nothing, just shut up. And he sat right next to me the whole time, kept an eye on me. And we got out of the plane, took a taxi. I got out of the taxi and there's a gurney and all these people threw me on the gurney and I right into surgery. And they saved my life. And this is where Western medicine shines because it's crisis care. It was born out of crisis care. It was, you know, wars and getting shot and shrapnel and bullets and your legs getting blown off. They can save your life. But, you know, when it comes to chronic illness and stuff and other stuff, you know, they get an F. Okay. It's just not the people that are working there. It's the system that's it's broken. It doesn't work at all. In fact, it's a dangerous place to go to now. But we still need the crisis care component. That is a necessary part of our society. And I'm very thankful for those doctors that saved my life. But when I came back home, I still didn't know what to do. And then that's when Charles got cancer and we went to Hippocrates.
I want to know about Charles and Hippocrates. What was wrong with you?
Me?
When they you had to have this emergency surgery in Peru or Ecuador or whatever.
Oh, I had it was an appendicitis. It was an appendicitis. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
So, yeah. Got and it, you know, and then people like other doctors like, "Oh, no, it's a worthless organ." And I'm like, "Well, why did God put it in there?"
Right.
Right. And then you come to find out that there's actually some really cool ideas. I don't know about all of it, but if you look historically, the appendix used to be even bigger, like it was like a big boot that came down. And it looked like over time it shrank up. And it used to culture like bacterias and like maybe B vitamins and stuff like this. Okay. And so it's also a regulator of the gut microbiome. So it's a pretty important thing.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like, oh, the gallbladder, just cut it out. Well, you know, it's like I saw people like there was this guy in New Zealand when we were at Hippocrates. They were sitting there munching on garlic and then they take a little bite of a sleeve of an apple to put some, you know, make it a little sweet. And then they eat garlic. It was hot in your mouth burning. These people were eating garlic cloves, like three cloves or like one clove three times a day, then two cloves three times a day, then three cloves, then working their way up to five cloves. It's just, that's hot. And then they were doing some other stuff. Then they would do this liver flush and all of a sudden just like 300 to 400 stones would come out. And this guy, so this guy did that and he avoided surgery when we were there. We saw him. He was scheduled for surgery and his friend said, don't do it. You need your gallbladder for the rest of your life. It's important for bile and, you know, you're not going to live as long without it. And so he did that and he healed right in front of my face, right when I was there, just like my friend Charles. So.
Wow. All right. So take me into Charles and Hippocrates and you guys partnering up.
Yeah. So a good friend of mine, I used to work with him and mortgages. He owned Town and Country Home Loans and I was his top mortgage guy. And, we became good friends and he called me into his office. This is after I'd left and I was a financial advisor. I thought he was going to plan a trip with me or say, hey, let's go buy this duplex or together or something like that. And he's like, I got cancer. Oh crap. And I remember looking every year, him and his wife and his child, Charlie Jr. would go on a big vacation. They take a family photo at their vacation. Then every year, Charles would put a new big photo on his desk of his family and their vacation. And I remember looking at that photo and going, next year, Charles might not be in that photo. You know, he might not be there. Because my experience with cancer was you get it and you die. My grandma died of brain tumor cancer. My aunt died of melanoma skin cancer that spread to her lungs and her spine. I learned later after the biopsy and stuff. My mom did all the hospice care. And by the way, anybody that's ever done hospice care, geez, man, you're amazing. You are an amazing person. I just send you a lot of love. And I've been saying that for years. And now I've actually did my mom's hospice care while she was in cancer. So now I really can I did it, you know, and it's tough. And I'm on my A game usually all the time. But after my mom died, it took a couple months. And I started, I haven't done that anymore. Oh, I forgot to do that for myself. Oh, I forgot to do that for myself. So, you know, when you lay down and you're like, finally, okay, I'm going to get some sleep. And then the phone rings, Tim, I need to go potty. You know, it's like, okay. And you get back up and go help him again, you know. So I get it. It's so anyway, it's just cancer sucks. I mean, it's just a shit show. I hate it. But it is a lot of contrast, and it's getting a lot of us to wake up to our own power. So I want to get the benefit from that and try to teach people that rather than hating it like I used to, is like loving it, right? And looking at it as an opportunity for growth. It's like, okay, you've done a lot of shitty things in your life. You're eating crappy processed foods that are killing you. You need to learn this stuff. You got to get the chemicals out of the body. You got to flood the body with nutrition. You're going to have to reduce the stress in your life and respond differently for stress. And hopefully you can heal yourself, and then you can really, truly live. And these, when you get cancer diagnosis today, I look at it as like it's a gift. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute gift to wake up. And if you have a cancer diagnosis, you're one of the few people on this planet that actually gets the chance to live. So my friend got a cancer diagnosis, and he wanted me to go with him to support him because his wife was running a jewelry business. She couldn't get away at the time. And I went with him January 1st, 2011. We started our journey together, me trying to support my buddy with his cancer. And they didn't really have anything for him up at OHSU in Portland, which is the Oregon Health Sciences University. It's a big cancer clinic and stuff for his type of cancer. So thank God. And so we went there and learned about detoxification and nutrition, and we healed naturally. And I got the benefits of it too. And I thought the place was like some scam deal, because it's like, how could some podunk place like this like help people heal from cancer when we have billions of dollars race for the cure, our best minds in the doctors? I mean, come on, you know. I had a completely different belief system. Mm-hmm. I was in the matrix. I didn't even know it until I got there. And everything was just too common sense to make sense to just, it was just, yeah, okay. And then the education was huge. So 40 hours of education a week at that place, plus they put you on the lifestyle. So mm-hmm. no meat, no dairy, no salt, no sugar, nothing cooked over 115 degrees, all enzymatically high and vibe and electrons. And I never heard of that stuff. And basically just started flooding us with a couple green juices a day, wheatgrass shots, colonics to clean out the gut. And I just started healing. And after a heavy detox period of night sweats and irritability and a metallic taste coming out of my mouth and smells coming out of me I hadn't smelt before, I woke up after about four or five days and I felt like I was 18 again. I had, my arms were tingling with energy. I lost 11 pounds the first week while I was there. Even though 11 pounds of it was inside of me. One thing I learned, and this is a huge takeaway, your audience probably knows, but the average person's got 6 to 12 pounds of impacted fecal material in the colon, just sitting in there putrefying and rotting and blocking absorption of nutrition and destroying, even in the small intestine too. There's this black, brown, viscous mucoid plaque in there. I think it's the body's protective measure to stop stuff from getting in, but it ruins those tight junctions. And all of a sudden the intestinal lining gets holes in it, AKA leaky gut, and all these undigested food particles and microbes get in the blood. And then all of a sudden it's cancer, it's fibromyalgia, it's MS, it's, you know, colitis, Crohn's, whatever. Your just body breaks down depending on your disposition for a weakness. And we learned all about this stuff, and I felt amazing. And I looked at Charles, and I'm like, dude, do you feel as good as I do? He's like, yeah, I feel amazing. I said, bro, like, I can't believe this, but like, you're going to heal. I know it. You're going to heal of this cancer. It's like, we have discovered the fountain of youth, man. This is it. It's like detoxing and nutrition and reducing stress. Like, this is the fountain of youth. This is what everybody's looking for. It's so simple. Oh my God. I felt like I'd been given such a gift. It was a miracle for me. personally. And my friend, within 2.5 years, he was completely cancer free. Even before he was cancer free, he was running a marathon for people. He joined the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society puts on runs. They do marathons, and people train for marathons and raise money for their friends and family that have leukemia and lymphoma. Charles had leukemia, and he was running in the freaking marathon. And he was healthier by then than pretty much everybody there. And I remember talking, listening to people like, what's he doing here? He should be home resting. Why? What? And then I looked, we'd have a barbecue or something, a get together. And I'm after I got educated, I'm looking around. I'm like, well, shit, all these people here that are raising money for awareness and for their friends and family so they can help with bills and stuff, they're all eating all this food that's causing the cancer. And now I knew, and nobody could take that away from me. So I totally changed my lifestyle. I started doing 2 green juices a day and sprouts. I started growing sprouts, and I walked away from financial advising to tell people about green juice and sprouts and living foods and give people this information. Because if a guy like me and redneck can figure this stuff out and heal myself, I mean, anybody can do it. Like, and I'm 52 and I can pretty much do anything I want. Like anything. I trail run about 10 minutes a mile, uphills, downhills, switchbacks. That's a pretty good time for a 52-year-old. I just do it a couple times a week. I can do easily without even thinking 40 push-ups, whatever. I can do whatever I want physically. I went surfing with my 22-year-old son a couple weeks ago. No problem. When I was 37, I couldn't do any of that stuff.
Nice. What is your... So I know there's been a lot of controversy in like the wellness community around green juices and greens and oxalates in kale and spinach and tearing up the gut. What's your take on that?
It depends. It depends. There's a lot of questions like this. There's a lot of things. And that's what I like to do. I like to simplify things for people. Mm-hmm. You know, the bottom line is that if you look at the stomach, there's one sweet receptor and about 25 bitter receptors in the stomach. Mm-hmm. So we're supposed to be eating bitters. But how would we eat those bitters? We would be picking a food and eating it just like every other wild creature, mm-hmm. right? And so, and then we would be foraging, we'd be getting a diverse, you know, probably 150 to 350 different foods during a year's time. And, you know, people now eat about 14 to meals over and over and over again. Think right. about what you drink, those listening, or what you eat. It's the same stuff over and over. So as far as green juices go, what's exciting is that most people are not drinking enough water.
Right.
96% of people do not drink enough water. And what water you are drinking is polluted. And it's not structured properly. So what does green juices do? Well, what's inside of a cucumber? You just said you just had Gina Bria on the deal, the Hydration Foundation, HyFlow Labs. They certify structured water devices. Mm-hmm. Our structured water device is one of two that are certified by that lab in the world. And so what's structured water? Well, your listeners probably know it's the fourth phase of water. It creates that exclusion zone. It's the gel-like phase. Mm-hmm. Guess what's inside of every vegetable?
Fourth phase
structured
water.
Structured water. It's perfectly structured. So green juices, when you're juicing a cucumber and celery and sunflower sprouts and pea sprouts and stuff like this, you're getting structured water. And most people are not getting structured water. So that water is going to hydrate the crap out of your cells and allow you to start detoxifying at a mm-hmm. cellular level, allow you to start absorbing nutrients at a cellular level, increase your mitochondrial function. It's kind of a big deal. So baseline, just by juicing greens, you're going to feel better, right? Now, when they're talking about the green leafy stuff and oxalates and stuff like that, they're always like, everybody's always like, you got to keep that stuff to a minimum. Mm-hmm. Smaller amounts, never more than 20-25%. I make it simple. I just do cucumber and celery. I might put a little lime in it, maybe a little green apple from time to time. And then I juice sunflower sprouts and pea sprouts that I grow in big trays. Mm. Now, I know most people aren't going to do that, but that's how I healed myself. So if you just stick with stuff like cucumbers and celery and sunflower sprouts and pea sprouts, you're not going to have these oxalate issues at all. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be getting a ton of structured water, which is awesome. And you're going to be getting phytonutrients. See, a lot of people know about in nutrition, protein, carbs, and fats, these macronutrients. And they also know about minerals and trace minerals and vitamins. And those are important too. But there's a subcategory called HOPE, HOPE, hormones that allow the cells to communicate, oxygen. It's a major macronutrient, actually, that and hydrogen. And then phytonutrients and enzymes. And enzymes are the carriers of electric. These are the electron. And so when you cook a food, all that's dead, gone. See you later. And so when you're eating living foods, that's where the sprouts come in. Living foods are going to give you these the hope, the hormones, the oxygen, the phytonutrients and enzymes. A perfect example is Oregon State University. They're one of the top phytochemical research institutes in the world. And I think it was about 2011, 2012, they were studying wheatgrass, the phytochemicals in wheatgrass, and they had counted 70,000 phytonutrients that have the ability in wheatgrass juice to prevent and reverse disease. 70,000. A couple years later, they were up to 74,000 and still counting. 74,000 nutrients in wheatgrass that have the ability to prevent and reverse disease. And then what do you do at Hippocrates Health Institute? You're drinking 2 ounces of fresh pressed wheatgrass juice on the spot right there, and they'll every day. That's part of the protocol. 7 years, you will do two green juices a day. You got stage four cancer, you're going to be on two green juice, two shots, 2 ounces of wheatgrass twice a day, and two big green juices, period. After 7 years, you can go back to then 2 ounces of wheatgrass once a day. That's the protocol they've done on like 700,000 people they've done clinical research on. And it's the main ingredient in our Green 85 juice formula. We do a, somewhere between a 21 to 33 to 1 concentrate of the juice extract of the greens, and we sun dry and air dry those juices to make 1 pound of powder. And it's so highly concentrated, and the enzymes are active, and those phytonutrients are still as good as intact as you could possibly get. I wanted that product to be as close to a fresh pressed green juice as possible. And why? Because I taught classes at my home, detox and nutrition classes, and some you'd walk over there and I'd be like, "Welcome to the class. Here's your shot of wheatgrass." We'd give everybody a shot of wheatgrass, then we'd make them a fresh pressed green juice. "Okay, go sit down. I teach the detox class afterwards. We have a living food dinner. Sprouted nuts, sprouted seeds, sprouted greens, sprouted beans, sprouts everywhere." And then we'd all hang out and have a community thing and have dinner, and I'd answer questions and do the best I could. Almost every single person that came to those classes bought a juicer. So I sold a lot of juicers for those companies. But guess what I found out? Guess what I found out, Danny? Only 1 out of 10 people would consistently use the juicer. 9 out of 10, it would end up under the cupboard. They weren't using it anymore. I found this out when I went over to this guy. He's like, Chad's like, "I can't believe, dude, you've lost 42 pounds in 60 days. Charles healed himself of cancer. I got to lose 40 pounds. I'm going to do what you guys are doing." I said, "Well, just come on over to one of my classes." He buys the juicer. A few weeks later, I'm visiting him. I'm looking around his kitchen. I'm like, "Where's your juicer?" And he's like, looking around under the cupboard in the back. I'm like, "You're not even juicing anymore. Why?" He's like, I said, "You know, like Charles healed himself of cancer doing this. And like, look what happened to me, dude." He's like, "I know," but he goes, "It takes like 45 minutes and I can't get my wife to do it. And it's just, I don't want to clean the damn juicer." And so I got concerned. So I started calling everybody up on the list. And the only people that were sticking with it were pretty much people with cancer. They had a back against the wall and a gun to the head. Most everybody else had quit because it was too hard. Now, I had kept doing it every day, twice a day, nonstop. I got pretty good at it. I could make a wheatgrass shot for me and my wife and a green juice and clean the juicer in 17 minutes flat. I made a game out of it. It was like, do it really fast, you know? But when you start off, it's 45 minutes getting used to it, cleaning the parts, doing all that stuff. It is kind of a pain in the butt. But I'm like, I healed myself. Like, I feel amazing. I can do whatever I want, you know? So is it worth it? Yeah. So that's why we created Green 85, because I know 9 out of 10 people are just not going to consistently do it. But hopefully they'll do it a little bit on the weekends or something, because
Yeah.
green juice is awesome.
Do you think it's our culture's addiction to like ease and comfort that has us dropping the ball? on our nutritional health?
Well, I think it starts off when you're a child. You're disconnected from nature, especially those living in the city, right? There's no connection. Even people remember, usually like when you're in second grade, they'll have you grow like a sunflower or something. They have you grow a little sprout. But kids love this stuff.
Yep.
And yeah, we're suffering because we're not, you know, you're not getting your food directly from the planet, mother, the earthship. Like every single creature on this planet consumes a 100% raw and living food diet, except human beings and animals we've domesticated, our pets and zoo animals.
Right.
Who are the sickest species on the planet? Humans and domesticated animals that are our pets and zoo animals. So what does that say? It's like, okay, wake the F up. Like if you want to have a vibrant life and not get sick and not get cancer like everybody else is getting, and fibromyalgia and colitis and Crohn's and diverticulitis and diverticulosis and you know, osteoporosis and all this other, osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis and all these things, then you might want to plug back into the living foods and start small and just add, you know, start sprouting at home. I mean, you don't even have to grow this stuff in dirt. You can start with red lentils, French lentils, green lentils, mung beans, fenugreek, which is a Greek hay. But lentils and mung beans, they're ready in 2.5 days. And you can start throwing those in your salads, mixing them in with hummus, sprinkle them on stuff, and just start there. And they require nothing, just water. And then a draining, a little container to drain them in. They're ready in 2.5 days.
Back in the day, in LA, when we were all like nerding out on David Wolf and everyone was raw and practicing Ashtanga yoga, we were eating fenugreek instead of using like the crystal deodorant because it makes everyone smell so good. So it's like our deodorant replacement, fenugreek sprouts.
Yeah, they're amazing. They create this mucilaginous gel that's very healing for the gastrointestinal tract. In fact, they're actually, I don't know where it's at right now, but in 2012, I remember that the country, it's the main staple of the country, Yemen, right? And over there, it's called hilba. And what they would sprout it, they would grind it with mortars and pestles. Not only would they use it in their food, but they would also use it as a medicine. Topically, you can make poultices with it for people's wounds and stuff like that. And what was interesting is the people in Yemen were, because of all the fenugreek, they stayed pretty healthy for a while. And like in Egypt, it got more Americanized and, you know, McDonald's and all that crap. And then all of a sudden they started getting sick too. But as of then, back in 2012, Yemen was still pretty healthy. I don't know what it is today, but I think a lot of it was from fenugreek. And so when we have people with severe gastrointestinal issues, we get them on flaxseed water. Everybody should be drinking flaxseed water, using chia seed for water pudding, Hilba, the fenugreek, because they create these mucilaginous gels and these soluble fibers that actually are going to, they're very cooling, and then they're also very, it's a food for your gut microbiome, and it's amazing. And there's just, it's great fatty acids for your joints and your cellular structure, so you have that good fat or lipid membrane, so your cells can absorb nutrients good and transfer toxins out. And I can't say enough about these things. So again, it's nature. It's nature's finest medicines. Wheatgrass, sprouts, you know, fenugreek, these types of things. And you just incorporate them into your life. And you can buy this stuff in 50-pound bags eventually. And you have some of the cheapest food on the planet, but it's the most nutritious. It's the most nutritious food you could possibly get. And it really goes back to what Hippocrates said, is let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food.
Yeah.
Your food that you're consuming is either going to be processed food that's going to kill you slowly, just like it's doing. 4,300 people per day in the United States die of processed food that they go pay for with their after slave tax dollars, even though they signed up for it, unknowingly, most of us. And you go purchase that food and you slowly kill yourself and your children and your family and everybody you give it to. Or you can get back to nature and buy things packaged by God, not processed. Learn how to consume those, store that stuff. It's going to be way cheaper, and your health is going to skyrocket, period, period, because you're giving the fuel that it was supposed to get. Instead of putting in a poison, you're putting in a food medicine.
When you say flax water, are you simply sprinkling a few flax seeds into a glass of water, or is there more to it than that?
No, what we do, and if you want, when people go to our website, if they want to, we give away our four core secrets manual. And in those four core secrets, there are four simple things that identified that people can do pretty much for free. It will totally transform their health. But I also added in the flaxseed water recipe and a couple of their food recipes in there. So what you do is you take one part flaxseed, 4 to 5 parts water in a jug, and then stir it up and then keep it on the countertop there and let it soak for 8 hours. So you can do this at night, let it soak overnight, and in the morning, or do it in the morning, let it soak during the day, and then the evening, depending when you did it in the morning, then you stir it up one more time and then let it set. And then seeds will settle, and then you pour those seeds off through a strainer because at the very end you'll get a few seeds, and you'll have this great mucilaginous gel water. It's unbelievable. In fact, down in Peru, they have these little carts, you know, those little carts that are run around out in the city. Like, guys, New York is hot dogs. Well, down in Peru, they got like coconut carts, and they have these things called emolientes. And emolientes are the base is flaxseed water and herbs. So it's this like healing warm drink. They warm it up in this thing and you drink. I'm like, I was eating coconuts and I always get emolientes when I'm in Peru. They're awesome. So you, if anybody's in Peru and you hear emoliente, you see a little cart, go get it because it's like food is medicine type stuff. So what you do is then you, to repeat, you add the seeds, stir it, 8 hours, wait, stir it again, let it settle, pour it off and strain it. Then you have those seeds left over. Fill it back up with water again, stir it, and then put it in the fridge. 8 hours later, stir it, let it settle, pour the seeds off. Repeat, repeat, repeat. You can do this for like 2, 3, 4 days. These seeds will just keep producing this mucilaginous gel water. And then one of two things will happen. Either it'll go rancid and stink, and that's time to pitch it, or the water will not be so jelly. It'll be, it's just, it's, then the seeds are done. And then some people take those seeds if they haven't gone rancid and they grind them up or whatever. They put them in muffins and, or they'll compost them, right? Or whatever, pitch them, let your ducks eat them or chickens or something. So that's flaxseed water, and it's a great gastrointestinal healer. It's a great soluble fiber, and it's free. It's almost free. It's so cheap. You buy a 50-pound bag of flaxseed, whether it's golden flax or brown flax, and you're gonna make flax water with that for a long time, long time. So it's fun because when I go to my friend's house now and clients that I've worked with, when I go to their houses, it's like going to my house. They got structure water, they got flaxseed water, they got fenugreek in the fridge, they got sprouts growing in their house. I can go to my friends and clients' houses, and it's like if I stay there or something, I'm like at home because they've adopted all this stuff and, you know, healed themselves or just wanted to increase their, you know, longevity and quality of life.
Are you a raw foodist?
I was actually a living fooder for 5.5 years. So we kind of at the time, because I born out of the Hippocrates camp, like raw food is junk food. Like it was about living. I was eating probably 80%, 85% of my food was like alive, like sprouts, sprouted nuts, sprouted beans, sprouted grains, sprouted seeds. And then we looked at, you know, the only vegetables that would not be considered junk food, and it's a completely different viewpoint, right? Would be ones that you go pick out of your garden or grab from a farmer's market that was picked that day, and then you would consume those. So I go 100%. Now I've totally dropped all that stuff, and I'm just settled down, and I don't judge anybody. I was called the food Nazi for a while because I was just like, "Why are you doing that? Like, you know, Charles healed from this stuff doing this. What are you doing? You know?" And it's just like people would see me like they like hide their food. It wasn't a good thing. It wasn't a good thing. And so then I'm like, I never did the raw food, junk food. So I did that, and I gained a few pounds, and I went away from that. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna try adding meat back in. So then I added meat back in, and I went up meat, and I started feeling bad, and I brought it back down. And now what I do is I eat a lot of fresh food. I grow my sprouts. I sprout everything. I got cashews soaking right now. I'm making some cashew milk today, and you know, I got my flax water and my chia seeds, and I just kind of do my thing. And if my friend catches some kokanee and he smokes them and then puts them in a little jar for me, and yeah, I'll probably eat them. I know there's probably some mercury in them, maybe some parasites in there, but I take parasite free every day, one of our formulas, and you know, I'm not worried about it. I got ivermectin if I needed it, so I just do that way. I just kind of chill out now. It's just like it's very little meat. It's mostly just fresh and healthy as I can get.
You're taking your parasite-free formula every day prophylactically?
Oh yeah, twice a day.
Does it inhibit the body's ability to fight parasites when you actually need the medicine?
That's a great question. We were also asked about this about the enzymes too, because we also have people take digestive enzymes for a period of 2 to 3 years and then stop taking them because we've rehabilitated the gastrointestinal action, the peristaltic action. It's kind of like a spotter when you're adding in the weights, the food becomes the weights, the resistance. It gives you a little assistance. So with Parasite Free, formulated by Dr. Scott Treadway, he's aware of all this stuff. Right. And I asked him, I was like, should we take this for like 3 months and stop, or can it be a daily? And he's like, and he just said, no, they can take this daily. It's not gonna put their ability to kill off parasites like putting your arm in a sling, right? Where it will atrophy if you don't use it. And we're big on that. We have another product called Alpha Energy that was actually it's the only formula that's not herbal formula we have that's not Dr. Treadway's. It was actually a friend of his. And if you go look up it was the entire 1960s Olympic team and the Soviet Union was on it. They crushed everybody that year. They have the most medals, the most gold medals, and it works on men and women. But for men, it's a 6 to 8 month ramp up period to build up the natural precursor so you can make your own testosterone. So for those guys that are over 28, if you'd like to, and this all came about because I turned 40 and all my friends started getting testosterone injections. I hate needles. And I said, you guys are, you're putting your ability to make testosterone in a sling. Well, what do I do? Then I called Treadway up. I'm like, Doc, what do I do? And he's like, oh, my friend has this formula. I have access to it. Would you like to make it? And you can give it to your friends. I'm like, yes. So we start with small batches, and it's called Alpha Energy. And so once again, it helps accentuate your own body's ability to make it. So he's very thoughtful in these processes and stuff like that. Can I explain to the detail how and why on some all this stuff? No, I can't. All I know is I take it, and I feel great. I feel awesome. And I feel protected.
Awesome. So, walk us through, you were dealing with chronic skin issues. You're having a belly issue on a boat in Ecuador. Your father-in-law helps get you surgery for the appendix. How do you transition from finance and not being on top of your health and well-being to now formulating all the products that you're creating?
Well, Dr. Treadway did the formulating. So what I'm really good at doing is like I'm a truth seeker and I want the best of the best for myself. Period. I want the highest quality stuff because I don't like being lied to. When I found out that I thought I was paying money to the government for the FDA to protect me when I go into stores and buy stuff. Then I find out that most of the ingredients are toxic and poisonous and causing cancer. Again, 4,300 people a day will die today. That's a 9/11 and a half event happened today. And it happened yesterday, and it's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. And there's no end in sight for processed food. So look at my shirt. Ingredients matter, right? And so I'm a stickler on this stuff too. And so with our supplements, it's the same thing. It's like it's not just the ingredients, it's the other ingredients that are in there too, because those are ingredients too. Magnesium stearate, silicon dioxide, dicalcium phosphate. These are toxic. And they're in most supplements. I always tell people, check your labels. We actually have an ebook I wrote called, how to choose your own, how to choose your supplements, basically, or something like that. And all the ramifications if you don't. And it just educates people on that. Because there's no awareness. It's really about the education. And I got to tell you, we get emails every time I do a podcast, people are like, Tim, they send us an email to support@chemicalfreebody.com. It's like, and they send pictures. I checked all my supplements and 90% of them had silicon dioxide, a level 3 toxin on the EPA's toxin list, yet it's in most supplements, right? Okay, so you asked me the question was, how did I leave financial advising? And well, after I had kind of started healing and Charles heal and up, I started teaching classes immediately at my home. I just felt, I mean, who does this? Like I was so compelled Because I felt it was like such a gift to get my energy back. And then women started actually commenting on how pretty my skin was and soft it was. Nobody had ever made a comment on my skin ever. And in the beginning, I didn't even know how to take it. It made me feel weird. And I'm 52. My skin's amazing now. It really is. It's like I don't do no makeup or nothing. It just my skin glows. It's awesome because I have an awesome digestive tract. If you want to have beautiful skin, you take care of the internal skin, right? So I'm doing this, I'm teaching these classes, but I still thought of myself as a little like nobody as far as the health business goes. And then my little brother died in a tragic mountain biking accident. He went off a jump and broke his neck and died.
Ooh.
And so I was setting upstairs one day and I get these flashes because I grew up as an only child. I was adopted. I met my mother, my biological mother, when I was 21. And then all of a sudden I had a 15-year-old brother and 18-year-old sister. Well, me and my brother were like really connected. He worked on it. He was on a farm too. He hunted and fished meat. And we just loved each other. And it was like, I got a brother. He actually got pissed at my biological mom because she's like, why didn't you tell me? You know, he's like, I missed out all these years of my brother. But he let that go. And so we had this great relationship. He had a couple babies, little girls, and he had a bun in the oven. And then he died. And back then, I really didn't have a lot of spiritual, I don't know what you'd call it. My spiritual path was very limited. And now that's the most important thing that this whole health experience has opened up is the spiritual path. And it's just, that's why when I'm so passionate about helping people with their health, because if I can help them get their energy back and get their cells vibrating, if you're resonating at a higher frequency, then you can tap into channels of spirituality that you just weren't seeing because you couldn't pick up the frequency. You couldn't see it. You're on channel 2, and if we can get to channel 4, then you can see a different station, right? And so he died, and I was sitting in my office upstairs at the house when I lived in Tigard, Oregon. It's a suburb of Portland. And I had one of those flashes and thoughts about my brother, and then I just screamed out loud. I was like, Troy, what do you want me to do? And I heard him literally say, like he was in the room, like I heard it, do what you love and do it now. And I picked up my phone, and I just was in a blank, and I just stared, and I just called my mentor, Jeff Dixon. He had this 18-person staff, 3 locations. They were probably netting a couple million a year, and I was taking over the business. And all my friends were like, dude, you got it made. Like, you're taking over this business and you're going to be a millionaire. I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. And I said, Jeff, I'm out. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, I'm getting out of financial advising. He's like, and this guy's counting on me, right? I've got probably 35 grand of my own money invested in this whole thing, plus my time in 7 years and another 2 years, and I'm taking over. And I'm set financially. A huge book of business. Everybody loves me. I loved everybody. The staff's awesome. And I'm like, I'm getting out. How are you gonna make a living? I'm like, I have no idea, dude. But I'm gonna tell people about green juice. I'm gonna tell them about sprouts. And all I know is my brother's dead, and he went out doing what he loved. And I can't say that. I said I'm good at the financial advising, but it just doesn't stir me anymore. I'm like, I want to go help people with their health. And that's what I'm gonna do. And so I bought a big dry erase board and started writing some stuff down. And I just started coaching people for free. And then after I ran out of money, I hired a coach and asked him what I should do. And he's like, how much are you charging people? And I was like, nothing. I feel like it's a gift. And he's like, what? What are you doing? Like, you have to charge them some money. You need to make a living. I'm like, well, yeah. And so I charged $97 a month and then eventually went to $197 and $497 and $997 and $3,000. And eventually I started coaching doctors and nurses and high-level athletes and world champion Hall of Famers. And it's kind of crazy.
That does it for the first half of my conversation with Tim James. As you are inspired and excited to dive into the second half of our conversation, you can find that over on both my Locals and Patreon communities. Those addresses are dannycats.locals.com and patreon.com/dannycats. At both communities, for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half conversations, plus oodles of bonus content. For $10 a month, we throw in access to my Words with Danny and Emily Scorched Earth conspiracy podcast. Just want to give you a lay of the land so you can decide what is most aligned for you. Last reminder to sign up for my newsletter at DannyKatz.com, to click that subscribe button, like, share, comment, and to use the following URL to navigate your way over to a big giant chemical-free body discount. So you're going to want to type in chemicalfreebody.com/Danny, all caps, 28299. I will also include the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. I will see you over on the Locals and the Patreon. Have a rockin' day.